This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power.
Yeah. How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Race Wars in the house. Jesus Christ, I'm going to kill myself before the end of the show.
No, you're not.
Are we already starting off with stupid Yamanika playing fucking Mexican songs?
No. Very nice.
We got to build a wall.
Beautiful.
Just say hello, people.
Hi, it's Yamanika. It's Thursday, no, and tomorrow is my show at the Gramercy Theater, which is August 23rd.
Okay.
8 p.m., the doors open. 9 o'clock, have your butts in the seat. Jessica Kirsten has been nice enough to open for me.
Nice.
And I am doing a brand new hour for y'all. It may be 45 minutes, depending on your attitudes. Okay. So get your tickets now and help me be great.
Okay, thank you. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You haven't even got to plug in?
Yes,
at the top of the show.
And
at the top
the
of the damn show.
Yes.
Race Wars. We got a packed house in here. Lord have mercy. White daughter.
Yes.
Everybody introduce themselves. Chrissy.
Chrissy Mayer. Hello. Thanks for having me. My thing to plug is I'm going to be at the stand on Monday, the 26th.
Okay, we're not plugging at the top of the show. We don't plug at the top of the show.
I came to plug, but my show is before that.
Introduce yourself.
Hey, my name's Jeff Cerulli. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Jeff. Yeah. This is my first time meeting you.
I think we met years ago.
You had to have met years ago.
Yeah. I guess you weren't very memorable.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow,
you
Chrissy.
I don't remember him.
Nah.
Oh.
No, you have something out now.
Yeah, I got a film coming out next Tuesday.
And the name of it?
It's a documentary called Tasteless.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
And your partner's who?
My partner's Matt Ritter. He's going to be here.
Matt's coming from the Anthony Cumia show?
He's coming.
Okay, now what's the Tasteless? What's it about? Tell the people, please.
It's a documentary about an old joke book called Truly Tasteless Jokes that was like around when I was a kid that like would get passed around.
Now, when you say when you was a kid, 2 years ago?
Hello.
He's a young boy, Gina. That's what I'm saying.
I was, 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it was actually written by like a big-time feminist, speaks now against like anti-ageism, did a TED Talk.
Yes.
So you wouldn't think that she wrote these books.
Right.
So we look back at these books. We look at what's going on now. We talk to a bunch of comics, a bunch of media people, and it's coming out on Amazon and Apple TV on Tuesday.
So it's about tasteless jokes.
It's about tasteless jokes, but also a look back at this book, at her life, who wrote these books, these offensive jokes that you wouldn't think that she wrote it, and kind of like the cancel culture. And
did she write the jokes? Or did
she wrote the jokes. I mean, she compiled them and she put them together. She gets credit for it.
Right, right.
But I mean, you could say you look at it, you're like, these are like house jokes.
Right.
But you know, she was the one, she sold like millions of copies with these. Mm-hmm. So she talked to us, and then it gets into what's going on now with people getting upset at jokes.
Was she a feminist when she first wrote the book?
I'm sure, yeah. I don't know
so
if
she was
talking about it. Yeah.
She was like, hey, I'm going to do this in my real life, but I know these motherfuckers still going to act a monkey, so I'm going to give them some dirty jokes.
Yeah.
But was
good
she,
for her, playing both sides.
She compiled just tasteless jokes, here's some tasteless jokes, or she was like, here is like commentary on the tasteless jokes.
No, it's just, it was a joke book. It was something that wouldn't exist now. It was a joke book. And
what comics did you guys talk to? Nobody called me. Is that because it's on the Cumia Network and he's still trying to be a bird?
I would have.
My name.
I would have. I would love to have you
over there.
Yeah, make it about you, Yamanika.
The Popeyes Chicken King.
Somehow this book became about Yamanika.
No, it became about. I'm trying to figure out why he said he interviewed comics.
I would have loved to talk to you. Yeah.
Okay, so part two.
I could tell you who's in it.
Who's in it?
Jim Norton, Roy Wood Jr., Soder, Norman.
Oh, okay. Yes, I love all of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch of good comics in it.
Well, you led with Cumia, so.
I'm not a Cumia.
No, they were
getting
interviewed. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, his partner, Matt,
we're doing the round.
Interview. They're doing all the shows.
Yes,
and one of the shows was Cumia that he did today. We wasn't even talking about that. How did we come? How did it come? This is his book.
There's so much book beef going on.
They're doing the rounds on a whole bunch of shows. You're doing a whole bunch of podcasts and shows.
Remember the Mexican song?
One just happened to be Cumia today. And that's where Matt's coming from. That's why he's running.
Oh, he's coming from there.
He's coming
from there. Oh, and there's another
but
person.
Anthony Cumia is not in the
but
doc.
But I said 3 weeks ago I'm going to be here. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with him. Gina, say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
Now, the way you said that reminds me of how Yamanika used to say it.
Hi,
and now,
people.
Yamanika, you affected by that? mercy.
Hi, people. Gina
no,
Real.
You stop. You stop. I don't care if you're going to be at the Gramercy Theater on Friday.
August 23rd. Yes.
We know
that's tomorrow, know if you listen to it on Thursday. Mercy. Thank you. God bless you.
We might have to take an intermission on this one. Gina, what's going on? You're welcome back to the show.
Do you have a
thank
show?
You for having me back.
Yes, thank you for coming back. Now, you've been up to something. What have you been up to?
An HBO special that just debuted.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's been all over the place. Only got one piece of hate mail so far, so yeah.
And you know who that was from me? It was from me, guys.
Guys,
yeah, she got my email. Yeah, all caps. Go back to where you came from. That's what I typed on it.
And I was like, oh, the Bronx? You trying to give me a ride, son? You trying to give me a ride?
That's right, to that poverty stricken. treat like she was in the crew. What's the name of the bitches in Congress?
Oh, they call them
the squad. The squad. There you go.
The squad. Yeah. That is the squad.
I call them the crew and
you
bitches,
say
nigga.
The bitches
so
in
get ready
the
for
the Congress. The
Congress. Listen, I just got an Uber for like 20 blocks that cost me $47. So I also want to go back to where I came from.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that a world without Uber? Lord have mercy. So, tasteless jokes. Yes. What did Norton say about it? I know he had some history. I know he talked about it a lot. Did y'all interview everybody on screen and all that?
Yeah. No, we. It's funny if like we're just like, is this Matt coming in now?
Yeah. You
oh,
got
here's
nervous.
Matt right here.
You can't answer without Matt. You can't answer without Matt. You can't answer without Matt.
No, I can't. No, it was a funny idea that you said, did you get him on video, like a documentary? Like, it's just like the idea of like, just like on phone or something. No, Norton, you know, he's very like, if you ever hear him talk about this stuff, he's very like kind of cerebral about it. He gets really into it.
You have to.
Where like, you maybe wouldn't think it, but he gets into it. He talked about like how he used to read these jokes to a girl. He would call a girl up and read these jokes to her, and like they weren't even his jokes. This is like way before he even thought of doing comedy. And then it kind of gets into where we're at now with like people getting upset at buzzwords and premises. And he was very passionate about that, where they're like not even hearing what you're saying. They're groaning at premises.
Yes, at premises. Yeah. Because people are so scared that somebody's going to see how they're thinking about something through somebody else's words.
Wow. And here's Matt.
What's up, Matt? Welcome to the show, man.
I answered without Matt. I just want to say.
You can't answer without Matt.
You can't answer without me. I was going to say, Roy Wood talked about that. We're getting to the point. I don't know if you feel this in stand-up. Oh, I brought the book, by the way.
Excellent. I didn't want you to sign it for me.
Yeah. And Roy was talking about how, like, you know, you'll be, I don't know if you ever this happened where you'll tell a joke and he feels audience members looking around to other audience members to decide if it's okay to laugh at the joke.
Yeah. Now sometimes you gotta address it when you're on stage and say you gotta tell the audience to relax and it's just a joke.
Right.
So they can get to the end of it. Sometimes you can come just like you said, the premise I get motherfuckers. Some people who are so heated they don't want to hear the rest. Even though if they hear the rest, they're gonna be like, "Oh, that's fine."
Or sometimes if they hear the rest, they still find a way to be upset about it because I think what people don't understand. I don't think people understand their own trauma.
Yeah.
What people do is they connect what you say to a trauma that already existed, as if you intended to trigger them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they attack you, making them the douchier person.
Yeah.
Because you're attacking somebody that has no idea that they've hurt you.
Yeah.
Really.
Vicious cycle.
Really people also hate nuance, like. If you have to think about like a difficult topic but in a nuanced way and then it's funny and like, you know, the butt of the joke isn't like the sufferer or whatever, like people just don't wanna, they just wanna gloss over whatever like makes that joke work.
We seem to always come upon a time where audiences everywhere start to like have this uproar of sensitivity. We saw it back in the days of Lenny Bruce and George Carlin, where they were the ones getting in trouble for saying stuff because society was doing things that they shed a light on. What people don't realize is, as a comic, our job is to shed a light on stuff like that and the hypocrisy that we live in.
Right.
When you take away that, they're going to suck the fun out of performances.
They're going to try to.
Yeah. And that's
really well
and
said.
It's going to suck more for them.
But performance finds a way.
Yes.
It's like life.
The only big difference is people were always getting upset at stuff. The only difference now is social media, where people can make it about themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can make it and turn it. And it's like, are you really upset at a joke? Probably not. You see an in where you can make it about you and get likes and clicks. And that's the only difference. And that's what people do. And then to the point where you're getting like companies, they're like, you're trying to get people fired, which is insane.
Yeah.
You don't like a joke, you don't
fired.
Like something, it's fine. Yeah, people are getting fired.
Yeah, people are getting
fired.
And
also, that's forever. Like, that is, like, unless you have $100,000 to scrub your, like, your name on Google, that is forever. Like, it fucks with people, like, that we all know personally, is the ability to get a job forever.
Right. You have two choices, right? You can just withdraw from society because how else do you engage without social media?
Yeah.
Or you just live like a normal person, running the risk that somebody could try and cancel you at any point. Any one of us can cancel any other person right now. And, you know, the reason that it works is the reason people keep doing it is that it works, right? Yeah, you can get a huge company to cancel somebody. You could be some egg on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you might not even be real, but you could have, you know, build up a mob and get somebody fired. And I think, like, we're skipping past one piece, which is like, whatever happened to shame? It's okay. Like, if you screw up, like, how about being ashamed? Yeah. How about apology? Mm. Like, how about those levels?
Well, also, whatever happened to discussion? Why are you making... Yeah. What I hate is when people make a comment on something like a video or a post instead of directly messaging you. Because when they make a comment, what you're saying is, I don't just want to tell you you've hurt me. I want to take you down.
Right.
I want to embarrass you.
Right.
So you're being a bully to the person you are claiming is bullying you.
Right.
And you're making it okay in your mind because your feelings are hurt, but that doesn't make you a good person. If you wanted to confront somebody and really confront them person to person, you would directly message them and keep it on the low because you're dealing with your feelings. But what you're trying to do is publicly crucify these
and
artists.
trigger the same shit and other people reading it.
But it's trying to look like a hero.
It's intoxicating. You know, that's why people do it. It's especially if you don't really have any real power in your life too. I mean, this is the one thing that we all...
What's the scariest jokes then? Is it about race or is it about gender? Or is it about like rape? Or is it about homosexuality? There's a lot of scary ones. I love them all.
They can all take you down.
Well, I think one of the things is also just responsibility. Because, you know, as comics, we have the freedom, or we take the liberty and freedom to say what we want. And then there's some people that try to sweep under that freedom and just spew out whatever nonsense,
like
hate
hateful,
that they have.
True. Yeah.
And so we have to be very mindful that we don't let those things slip through the cracks. Like, you know, I was on The Breakfast Club this morning promoting my show August 23rd. Doors open at 8, show is at 9 p.m., which is tomorrow. You can go to my IG and get the link there to tickets. But we did, I did roast battle, the last roast battle, where it was just a battle against, it wasn't more of a competition as much as it was a battle with people who were friends or like, you know, Sarah and Joe did it as a husband and wife. And, you know, I went up against Jamar Neighbor, friend to friend. And it was like people saw that and they got instantly Black Twitter and Black Facebook came for us because obviously we're using the N-word a lot and we were going at each other. And out of context, I could understand what the concern is, right? Because sometimes people don't have the luxury to joke about certain things. And sometimes people don't have the luxury to be those joking because of the power position, right? A lot of times people don't wanna hear white men making jokes because white men in this country have the ultimate power. Yeah. So for you to make a joke against me and I'm already, you know, a subculture or a disadvantage, people just start getting tight. But then there's a difference.
Yeah, Carrot Top.
There's also a difference when there's something to be said. So I am definitely for, like, listening to what's being said. You know, like I said, when people got upset about us using the N-word, it was like, yeah, but you also didn't watch the other four seasons that I was on where, like, I was up against Kurt or some white guy, JP McDade or whoever, and I was also calling them the N-word. So they don't have the context of it. And it is about having an open conversation. There's a white comic, when I first started, like this was like maybe 15, 16 years ago, not when I first started, but when I first came to the city, and he used to make these jokes about he had never watched The Lord of the Rings, so when he heard the names like Gandalf and Frodo, he thought those were names of Black kids in the projects, to which I used to laugh, and people would get so upset. And you might remember the guy that did this because this was at Gladys's.
Yeah.
And people would get upset and they would even get upset at me. Like, how could you laugh at this guy and he's a white guy, blah, blah.
Because this
white guy really don't fucking get it. And that's what's hilarious to me, that he probably does think these are four Black kids from the projects because it's true to whoever he is. So as long as people being true to whatever they are, their thoughts, we should allow them to express them. And if you don't like them, you don't have to support them. Let people who think like-minded like them support them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a joke he's making fun of himself.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't know. And it's kind of almost from a him joke not knowing, that he's like sheltered.
Right.
He doesn't know the fucking difference between, you know, this and that. And, oh, of course those are names of Black kids from the hood. He just doesn't know. If anything, that's a joke about himself.
Oh, Mack Weldon. I love Mack Weldon, Karen. You know that about me. But why do you like it? You say you like it.
I like it for you. Because okay. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. The website is super easy to navigate. Anybody can do it, even you.
That's right. I can do it. And you know what? No matter what you're wearing right now, Mack Weldon is better than what you're wearing.
It doesn't matter if it's comfortable underwear, shirts, socks, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, anything you're going to wear.
Yes. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's a essential brand for men. It's for men. Okay, we need our own shit made by men for men that knows what we like. We like premium stuff.
Premium. And they even have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, so you could smell like a silver daisy.
Yes, so you don't have the stinky stuff on you.
No, totally eliminates odor. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of whatever it is that you get, you can keep it, and they will still refund you, no questions asked.
It's so crazy. I love premium fabrics, and Mack Weldon is all about the premium fabrics.
Yep.
And it looks good, it feels good, and I swear by it. I
good
swear by it.
Good for everything. Going out, going to work, going on dates, everyday life, whatever you want.
Now, how did they get 20% off? Let's hook them up with something.
20% off your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon.com and enter promo code RACEWARS.
That's right. Enter the promo code RACEWARS and get hooked up. That's 20% off, man. You know you want to save some coin.
20% off.
Mack Weldon. Get your life right. Get your draws right.
We talked about the roast battle in it, and we brought up the question of, like, if we are getting more sensitive, how come no one cares about the roast battle?
Everybody cares about the roast battle when you're battling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people only care, it's not the people that understand what roast is. Because even I, as someone who is a roaster, like, this final year, and Jeff Russ is a good friend of mine, and
he's family.
He is family. He's a brother to me. He's done a lot. I've been on the road with him and Dave.
I fucked in his house.
With the bump in my... I haven't had sex in his house, but I definitely did walk through his screen door and almost knock it down because I thought it was open on my way trying to be sexy going to the pool for this guy that was there on my birthday for a date. But... in that he called me.
We'll find out later what happened with the guy.
He called me and he was like, "Yum, I really want you to do, you know, the battle," because I was tired of doing the battle. And he was like, you know, because he Jeff's very much about including women and diversity. Yeah. I also wrote on historical roast with him, and he was very big about, like, if we're gonna do characters of color or homosexual characters,
gotta have niggas in the room.
We gotta have the representation of those people so that we're not misstepping.
Right. So he's always niggas in the room.
He's always trying to include in that and take the responsibility for that. But one of the things I got tired of, I was like, I'm tired of battling white guys who don't look at my history. That's why I'll never say anything bad about JP McDade, because he's a very funny comic, and he is a writer. He's writing on a lot of shows
right
now.
I like how you said Joe and Sarah, like America knows Joe and Sarah. Like, it was General Sarah Hospital.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Like, it was on General Hospital.
Anyway, so
you mean Luke
up.
And Laura?
So anyway,
America does not know these people.
Anyway, when he battled me, he called me and was like, "Yum, I just tell me about your life," because we didn't really know each other like that. And so it's like, I grew up in the suburbs of Maryland. I went to parochial school. I went to college. I know who my father is and my mother is. I wasn't on welfare. I was like
three
really
booze and a yay
as a kid and as an adult, and it was taken care of by my family. I didn't know poverty. So he did all these jokes that were like really about my life and the things that I experienced.
Instead
versus,
of about just black people's experience.
Right, or this fat, you fat, you black, you on welfare, you don't know, you know, just like generic shit. So even I got tired of it, and it's good when you have people that really want to do the
but
research.
That's when roasted started when your colleagues made fun of you. Yeah. Not motherfuckers trying to get a one up on Comedy Central to have a career.
Yeah.
It was motherfuckers who really know each other. So that's what the roast was. Motherfuckers who worked for you with years.
Well, that's what I was
and
doing.
They
I
on the podium with you, and you're like, "Oh, I've been working with this motherfucker 20 years. Yeah, say shit about me. He knows me."
Right.
But now it's just about young faces, and hey, you score one on David Hasselhoff, nigga, you might get a sitcom. It's like, boo, nigga, boo. So the roast is a whole different thing now, and it's gross.
No, but there's great elements.
There's so many different versions of it now too, and it just turned into people who don't know each other trying to score one off on somebody.
Yeah, but it's
so it's
died
Twitter.
Down a little bit from its peak. Like, remember the peak of roasting when like there was a roast
battle? Let me tell you something. I judge roast battle. I've judged it at the stand.
I judge many of them.
I've judged it at
The Burn. I did Jeff Ross's a pilot for The Burn to get the show on TV. Mm-hmm. I did
people
it all.
People get nasty. Like, when I tell you the amount of times, because there's black etiquette when it comes to snapping and roasting and stuff, where you just, you know, I think people of color etiquette, where you, like, parents are very important, and I ain't joking about your grandmother that's about to go into the grave. Yeah. And we've had people go, you know, what's her name? Rosebud takes it really hard all the time because her sister died. And they use that. And it's like, anytime somebody died, it's like, your mama dead. And we just be like, what? You ain't trying to be funny like that, that you got to remind. But sometimes people do it in a way that we all can laugh at it. Yeah. And then sometimes people do it was like, oh, that's the only thing you can come up with is that they family member is dead and it's whack.
It is hilarious, though.
You guys think that there is some,
she misses her
are there some subjects that we should stay away from as comics? Do you think there are any subjects we should stay away from?
I think if you listen, like for me, people get tight when I do a pedophile joke.
Delicious.
And it is delicious. And it really is just me talking about the difference between being growing up in the 80s and whatever these kids got going on. Everybody got to check in and sign in. Like, you know, anybody could pick you up from school when I was a kid. Ain't nobody had to sign no paperwork. Now they got to go through three levels of the Torah and all this other shit to get the kids out the thing. And then you got all these pedophiles who are like kids are being more safeguarded than when we were kids and we could walk around with, like, we were latchkey kids and you had the key around your neck. And it's like, what easier way to molest a kid than to put their whole access to their house
around
their damn neck and they as a child. And then people get like, oh, and then I talk about, like, catch a predator. And I'm like, pedophiles are dumb. And I talk about the steps in which pedophiles are dumb because they get caught so easily.
It's
like,
so easy not to get caught.
It's so
it should
easy.
Be pretty
easy.
Not,
it should be pretty
easy. It's
like,
so easy to fuck a kid. How many
you,
is right?
No, it is. But it's like, if the point of it is, if Catch a Predator ran for like 10, 15 years, we all know that show inside or out. You know they're going to go to the door. Ain't nobody going to be at the door. They're going to go in the kitchen, take their clothes off, eat ginger snaps. We all know the setup. And they've been doing that for 15 years.
But they still
years.
Bust them, though. You know what? Because a man ain't thinking straight when his dick is hard. I don't care if you're a
pedophile
or not.
The point of it's it. Like, not that they're pizza. Molesting these kids. Not that they're pedophiles. Because I have women go, I don't like that, you know, you said blah, 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 blah. Or like when we did on Roast Battle, I said that Jamar was molested and so was I. I was molested as a child. I said the difference is my molester came. People are like, they go, no, oh my God, how could you? But I also was motherfucking molested, bitch. And I wanted to throw that out there.
So
and
you, you can take
relate.
Control of that pain any way you want
right,
to.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's yours. Yeah,
but I think it's like one of those things. I think it's individual. Like, I don't think any of us have the right to say what other comics can say or not say. We asked a wide array of comics from all over the spectrum how they felt about like what you can and can't say, and a lot of people had a different range. They're like, no, there's certain topics, like, you if you're not of that representative class or whatever, you shouldn't be speaking on them.
The only problem
other people think
is
no,
the
you
white
can say whatever
boy
you want.
That tries to find a creative way to say nigga. That's it. Other than that, I think whatever, because it's
they
like
always
you
looking
see
for a way.
Like, oh, here we go. But other than that, but that's personal to me because I'm a black person. A gay person may have be like, I don't want you to do certain things. I think what people got to understand is when you going to stand out there on that ledge, and you really need to be thinking about material that you're doing anyway. We supposed to have all thought about the material. Once you decide you're going to stand out that ledge, you got to be, you don't know how strong the group behind you is to push you off that ledge. You better hope you sturdy enough or you got a fan base strong enough to push against what's going to push to you because people are going on a rampage now.
Yeah. What you said is really important. You're saying you got molested. You have a right to joke about that. That's how you deal with it.
Yes.
So for someone to say,
and as her molester, I have a right to joke. About it. I mean, it's my life experience,
but people did write to me and they sent me DMs,
of course,
and I
they make
read
it about them.
They did make it about them. There were some people where I was like, I mean, I got long, detailed emails from people, DMs about here's why, you know, I liked you and I still like you, but here's what my, and I read them all because I'm weird, and I responded to everyone. It probably was like 160 people that wrote me, and I responded to each one of them, and as sincerely as I could, what I share and that I was putting on me and I was putting on somebody who engaged in an activity with me where all the gloves were off, we decided it was okay. There was nothing off limits for us, and we agreed on that. But me sharing whatever happened to me and then making light of it or a joke about it with him does not disregard the fact that you were molested and that I feel sorry that you experienced the same pain that I also felt.
Right.
Yeah, but you're also gonna help people who maybe are embarrassed about it and hear it and go, oh, look, I'm not alone. So then that's a thing that, like, why are we not thinking that, that you're going to, you're talking about this, that's something that's embarrassing, that you're being open about it. Like, that, that's going to help people. It's crazy people make it, but that's literally anything you say.
Yeah.
I remember one time doing a joke about my dad, and I saw someone up front get sad.
Wait, you knew your dad?
And I'm like, all right, I'm not trying to offend you, but I could see her get sad. And it's like, man, it's just anything you say.
It's true. Also, what you said about, like, you need to be ready for the backlash. You have the right to say whatever you want, but, like, be prepared for the consequences of what you say. Like, I did a roast battle with Allison Klemp a few years ago, and she made fun of my mom, who's now dead, but at the time she had brain cancer. And the joke was like, oh, that brain tumor is, like, the most productive thing that she's ever made with her body. It was, like, a joke about, like, pregnancy or whatever. And at first I was like, ooh, it was, like, the pang of the hurts because she's, like, about to die. And but then the crowd was like, no, like, not happy. Having it, and she felt like shit, and she lost the battle, and like part of me was like, hooray, you know?
Because sometimes this shit is real. Yeah, somebody joked about my grandmother. I went and did a roast battle just to judge it. I was supposed to go see my grandmother the following day. I did. I went. She was on her deathbed in Delaware. And I said that to everybody up front because I didn't know whether I was going to burst into tears or not. And I was already supposed to judge, and I really felt like it would make me feel better not to focus on it. And then one of the contestants used that against me when I was trying to critique him on something. And they had to literally hold me back. So I can't act like I don't understand when people have a visceral reaction to something. Like, I was like, yo, I hope I've never wished anything because I'm a Christian. I don't wish death or nothing on you, but I hope you get so close to it that your eyeballs go. It's coming and then it goes away. But people are going to it's hard because it's so many.
Sensitivities too. We're also human beings, right? Like I think the thing is too,
but it's
like,
also people want some measure of control about stuff. So they hear a thing, it triggers them. It's not about them and they're not the joke, but they're triggered and then they need control because they have this out of control feeling. And you know what? Sometimes when people write to you and they're all mad and like they're all upset that you brought this or that up, like
they put it in a journal.
But them writing that to you and expressing that, as much as you might be like, all right, is like maybe cathartic for them, you know? Like maybe that's their process or whatever. They need to freak
out with somebody. They're not canceling you, fine.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, right? Because by the way, we're performing so much and all the time. And like, unless it's like this is your on tape like show that you're doing for a special, it's like this is our time for experimentation and figuring out where the line even is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't even know if you fucked up sometimes until it's too late, you know?
My question is to Yamaneika, like, if your grandmother was on her deathbed, just get her off that bed. Did that kill her? Let's get her another bed.
Let's get that one up for a minute.
Ridiculous.
Get her another bed. I mean,
but do you
if
see
the name of it is death bed,
do you see how deep it is? Like, even like I was reading an article today. Like, it's not even just comics. Like, Khloe Kardashian put up a little thing on Instagram about her little daughter. And
is that the big one?
No. Well, she was the big one, but she's not. Anymore. But her little baby with one of her friend's baby, right? And they were sitting there and they were eating little Cheetos and one's eating the veggie sticks. And she goes, has a pretend conversation with the babies like, oh, mommy said it's okay. Empty calories are empty or whatever on vacation. Thousands of people commented like, how you're going to cause your daughter to have body dysmorphia and all that. I'm she can't eat. And I don't even like the Kardashians like that.
Somebody made a comment about her daughter saying, why is she so black? Somebody asked Khloe Kardashian.
And they also gave him a pushback because they said she's wearing her daughter like an accessory.
Yeah.
I know y'all bitches talk. I know what y'all bitches be talking about. Why she wearing her daughter like a bird? Like a bird? Oh, they gave us top 10 ways to make fall work for you.
Why would you even have a kid if you couldn't use it as an accessory? Your kid is your accessory. It's literally your accessory.
I'm going to use my kid to get all kinds of stuff. A handicap stick, a purse, baby formula, WIC checks.
She was carrying her kid up the beach like it was a Prada bag.
Oh, that's why she had the handle on her back.
Oh, wow.
Guys,
I'm very offended by everything that's being said right now.
Do you have a kid?
No, although people constantly think I do, which makes me feel very bad.
It's the Latino in you, nigga. They thought that when you was 12.
My voice was so deep yesterday. I was talking to my girlfriend and I left to go to the bathroom and the guy that was sitting across from us turned to her and said, hey, that guy that you're talking to, I don't think he's giving you the right advice. She was wow. That's my girlfriend. She was like, wow, deep voice. Oh, I wanted to cry, but I laughed instead. I couldn't help it. I had to laugh. Like, I was like, that's pretty funny.
That's transphobic and offensive. And that has no place on Race Wars. Like,
sir, excuse me, sir.
Oh, can I tell you something that really pissed me off? This is a hot topic. Oh, I want everybody's opinion. No, everybody. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pop, but we connected. So I had an incident at, should I say the restaurant?
Say
yeah, okay. I had an incident at, you know.
Oh, whoa, don't say now.
No, we all, because they write up, I love the place. No, nothing against them. I met, there was a trans woman. I'm assuming she's trans. She wasn't transitioning.
Assume anybody's trans.
No, but here's the thing. I'm so LGBTQ. Yeah. I know when you ain't on program. You understand what I'm saying? So you just dress like a lumberjack. You're not really trying to be a nigga. You know what I mean? Like, you got titties and suspenders and you still doing eyelashes. Come on, girl. So we got into a thing where she didn't want to let, she gave us attitude because
she was working,
she was a hostess.
Okay.
And Chloe was coming up behind me and I said, table for two, please. Like, but really nice. Like, oh, can I get table for two? Mm-hmm. And this chick comes up behind me. It's coming up behind me and she goes, well, where's your party? I said, oh, she's right at the door. She's coming. And she's like, I can't see. So it became a whole thing where she's like, I can't see you, blah, 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 blah. I was like, you're being ridiculous. So I told Chloe, I said, Chloe, please just get off the phone and come in here because this girl's being crazy. She's like, what did you say? I said, well, you're being kind of nuts. It's so rude that you're doing that. Chloe was like, do you want to go somewhere else or do you want the manager? I said, I'm just going to call about this tomorrow because the woman's being crazy. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I said, well, what's your name? And she goes, it's Steve. I said, well, you're acting like a Steve. You're acting like a man full of testosterone and aggression. Like,
I'm
got a
offended
small
at that.
Penis. So, but that was my honest reaction to her being such a nasty, because I'm cutting short the story. Yeah. She was being such a nasty cunt. So then I tweeted out the place and I was so upset. And they actually even looked at the video and they responded. They said, we saw the video of like how we weren't engaging her and like she tried to make it seem like we were so nasty. She kicked us out of the restaurant.
Wow.
Kicked us out of the restaurant.
She kicked you out?
Yep. She was like, you got to leave. And I was like, whatever. Yeah, I said, you're being so nasty. With pleasure, I'm going to leave and I'm going to complain about the place. Wow. I found out on Fire Island when I was there, just to tell you how treacherous people can be, her wife knows a friend of mine that I was visiting on Fire Island. They could not wait to tell my friend, you know, we got $50,000 in the lawsuit because she sued the restaurant to, that's why maybe we should take the name out because I don't know if they illegally, whatever their thing is, but she sued this restaurant. And I don't want to hurt them.
No, we'll put a Grace Papaya. Don't worry about it.
She sued the restaurant and got $50,000 because of, she said it was a gender discrimination or something like that, that she was wrongfully terminated by this experience when the woman was a complete catch you next Tuesday. What say you all?
What?
I mean, so she got money from the restaurant?
She sued them for wrongful termination and she won.
This is Steve.
Oh, this is the part of the story I forgot. I said Steve in quotes because I didn't think that was really her name anyway. They go, who? Who? Oh, you mean her name is Stacy.
So
she was lying anyway.
Oh,
okay. It wasn't like they were trying to tell me like, oh, this is who it is, because they were very hush hush about even what they didn't tell me anything because they can't because of laws.
Everybody,
but they were like, oh, you mean Stacy? Because they thought I got Steve wrong, and I said no, she said Steve. Chloe can also verify. They're like, oh no, her name's Stacy. No, what? They were confused.
Mm. Steve Pickles.
She sounds like a piece of shit. Like
she's a piece of shit and was trying to get a. Her wife kept inviting.
And here's the thing. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but whenever somebody pulls something like that, I'm like, just because, and this is so bad for all my friends that are in the LGBTQ, LGBTQAI+.
I'm in it too. I'm
is
straight, but there's
trains?
A why for me.
Is that
when
the
people,
express trains?
When people come out like that and they come at you like that and they end up getting money for it and they end up getting empathy for it.
Yeah.
It just kills this whole idea. Like,
it put holes
just
in a
because
shit.
You're a member of the LGBTQ
right.
community
doesn't
does not
nice
mean you're a good
person.
You're
a good
you can be a piece of shit.
Does that not mean you're
and
not
it's even worse. And it's even worse because you should know people in that community who's really been attacked and hurt by that.
Yes.
And now you're taking advantage of it like a piece of shit.
Yes.
You're worse than the people who hate on that community.
Yes.
You're worse because you're a parasite on your own people.
You're setting everybody back decades.
Yeah, she tried to make me look bad and she tried to make it seem like I was saying Steve, like I'm some, hey, I'm like, no, no, like no, no.
Like you're some ignorant person.
I said, like, and I stand by what I said. You act like a man who was pent up on aggression and a whole bunch of shit, this hostility that I don't understand. And I came to you as nice as pie, girl. I just got my hair done. My girl was taking me to dinner. She was going to treat. Why would I give you attitude? Yeah. Just give me a table for two. And so what? The girl's right there. It's a slow Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
When do you
got to
walk in together like it's a cafeteria?
By the way, you should get a cut of that 50 grand. I mean, you help facilitate this lawsuit.
You. This is what,
you know?
What if your husband's parking a car? You can't walk in a restaurant and say table with two? What if
I called discrimination because she saw my hair and decided I was some ghetto hoochie mama that she could talk crazy to.
Yeah, sure, ain't got to be together holding hands, the buddy system, like it's a swimming pool, nigga.
One of the most annoying things.
Yeah, about that.
That is such a good hustle.
That you have to have everyone to sit. Like you're lying or you're scheming them. That they don't sit you until your whole party's there. It's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
A table for two is still a table for one. Yeah. Unless you about to
you don't have no onesies.
Right. It's like, so what's the deal? Right. On a slow Tuesday, bitch.
By the way, speaking of lawsuits, in the movie, I think the one thing that is important, like this movie's like light and fun about the books, but it takes kind of like a darker turn. I don't know if you guys know the Mike Ward story, the Canadian comic who told a joke about a disabled boy, and now he's on the hook for $200,000 because over there, they have a human rights tribunal, and if you say something that is discriminatory towards somebody, I mean, it wasn't really discriminatory. It was it was a joke, and it wasn't about his disability. It was just like the joke is that this kid. He sympathized with him, and then the kid didn't die, and he was like, "Why didn't you die already?"
That's
anyway, so he gets sued.
Well, you promised you're going to die. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I told my grandmother the same thing. I'm in the will.
That was the
joke. I need you to go when you say you're going to go. You said Christmas.
Exactly.
But was it more because it was specifically about someone and not generically about a disability, or
no? It was about this kid who ended up on American Idol who had this like terminal illness, and then he didn't die. Anyway, so he told this. It was a really funny.
Just like the dude who got the HBO special. Remember that dude?
Yeah, Quincy.
But so this kid. So this kid got, I mean, so he sued him and he won. And, you know, Mike was like asking his lawyers, like, well, what about the First Amendment? Like, we don't have that here
that's
in Canada.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, that's the question is like, are we heading in that direction?
Well, the friends have the same situation when his comic was talking about, like, I got some Muslim stuff or something. And he got a whole bunch of people suing him. And I think he had lost at one point and was arrested or house arrest. I forget
the dude's name.
No, it was in France. It was some French Canadian. I'm French comedian.
Yeah.
So, the crazy thing, too, is that apologies are not enough anymore.
Right.
No, you can even say, I'm sorry that what I said hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never say, I'm sorry for my stand-up. I'm sorry for... But I'm sorry that what I said hurt you.
It's not enough anymore anyway, though. You apologize and double down.
Yeah, people do apologize with bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You mean like
but
fake,
the problem
like
is every apology is being treated like that.
I apologize for the way that it
made you feel some condescension to
it. It's acknowledging that it's personal.
But the fact is, you should apologize. For me, I should apologize if I made you feel that way, but I can't apologize for something that, like, I didn't intend to make you feel. It wasn't an intention.
I was talking to Dice Clay about the same thing like a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, one thing that he was happy about himself is that he kind of got grandfathered in from being able to say whatever he wanted to say. Because he came out like that. Yeah. So if you complain about Dice now, you're the dick.
But you knew who he was.
It's like, it's Dice Clay, asshole.
Right, you know, but our president doesn't even guard what he's saying, so I don't think it'll hit here. I just want to know, what happened to Paula Deen? She's still frying chicken?
She's still working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still working.
Some people get canceled, some people don't. I don't know how that works.
Some people get canceled and then they fan base. That's what I said again. Like, some people have to be smart about their fan base.
Yeah.
They fan base will hold them
up. Right, like Rogan's on fire, uncancelable or something. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
because there's too many people that, you know.
But if you have a following, you're also uncancelable. Like, all a network is just a broker, like a middleman that you don't really need. And everyone, like, people who succeed, like Andrew Schultz is doing it right now.
You gotta have good about 2019. Now you can build your own brand.
Yeah, you're gonna try to build your own brand now.
It's still harder, though.
Away and get subscribers and do it like that.
Because eventually you still want to get that NBC money, though.
You need sponsors.
You still want that network money.
Yeah. So as long as you got, like, Joe Rogan still got sponsors and he still got UFC and all that shit that's going to back him no matter what. So he's
you know
good.
What? As long as you're making money, if you can, if you have a fan base that's coming out to see you and you're not going through anybody, you're just setting up your own shows and filming your own shit and whatever, then you're making money. And even if people come after you, you will get that NBC check because they just want to make money too. That's it.
Yeah.
Nobody actually gives a fuck what you say. They just want to make money.
Did you see Sarah Silverman got canceled from a movie because she did blackface on a sketch of her, from her show 10 years ago?
In like 2007.
Yeah.
Well, I, we talked about this.
You guys talked about this?
Yeah, I talked about it on Friends Like Us when I went on there to promote my August 23rd show, which is Friday at the Grand
Theater. What time?
What time? At 8 p.m. And sit your ass down at 9.
By the way, our movie premieres August 27th on Tuesday on Amazon Prime.
You better end the story in blackface, Dominic.
One of the things that we thought that I brought up, although I think the girls that were on it, Joyelle was there, Jenny was there, and Jenny Saldana and Joyelle Johnson on Marina Franklin's podcast, and I was there, is that I said, I know Sarah Silverman, she's a sweetheart.
I love her.
Such a sweetheart.
Family.
So, like, I have a personal reference to her that I don't think anything she did would be deliberate. I don't think she has a bone in her like that.
Like a rape, no.
But then I saw the face, and I said, here was the problem where people, it was easy for them to try to cancel, although I don't think you can cancel her either, because we all know she's been, you know, she started off saying shit that was already like, uh-oh, controversial, yeah. And this and that, yeah. Is that when you look at Silver Streak and you see Gene Wilder being transitioned into blackface by Richard Pryor, and it's more of like, oh, I see he's already got the hair kind of, we're just going to put a light little brown on him, give him a little radio and let him bop and give the cool. And it's like, okay, that's funny. Versus like that face she had on was such an Al Jolson moment where it was like, how could you? And I'm not saying for her, but whoever put, it was like, it was so deep in. It's like, but she also
made... That
was
a darker shoe polish. You don't want to use the dark one.
No, and not with the white lips. Like, that's an emoji.
I call it flesh tone.
Yeah, you don't want to use the lighter. You want to use the lighter. You're going to go to, like, you know, the Sephora store.
But she did apologize, and I thought her apology was sincere. And it's like, you know, with stuff like that, sometimes we got to look beyond the artist and really look at the people that are putting it together and say... You know, we take a lot of responsibility when we do things that are filmed like that for what is happening behind the scenes, where it's like, there's somebody that wrote that sketch and it may not have been her. There are people behind her like, people going to get it, you know, and then she just has to be the person that's moving that dial forward in a way that I think she thought was going to move it a certain way. And then people are like out of context, just going, nope, don't like it, next.
But is there also something to be said for like, hey, do we progress? Like what happened in 2007 or 87 or 77 and now we're in 2019, like does it matter when it happened or, you know, the line that you allegedly crossed?
Because people start to, the scales are uneven when it, and I can specifically talk about race and I could talk about women too, because I am a woman. Sometimes I'm not always aligned with everything that women say because, you know, someone like, it ain't all that. We ain't delicate flowers that need to be running around like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, but then it's also like, we're in a culture now where people keep saying racism is over, racism is over. Whether that's everybody saying it, there's enough voices that are saying that while racist shit is happening, that I understand why people of color are like, nah, I'm not even gonna go with you down this road, because you don't even get the fact that there is still racism. So it's such a hard thing that you can see both sides of the coin. Some things aren't racist, some things are. You know, I saw a black woman yesterday talk about a racist experience that happened to her, but she prefaced it with, I understand that black people are sensitive about race, because she's this rich surgeon that lives, and she goes in to talk about how she had a racist experience, which she may not experience a lot because she has the economic means to distance herself from. I think most racists who are vocal about it are poor and white, right? Mm-hmm. And most racists who are quiet about it really are just not really racist, but more elitists that don't want poor people of any race to come. Like the Donald Trump thing is like all these poor, ignorant white people are supporting him, but he don't give a fuck about them. Nope. If P. Diddy bought a ticket to his event or whatever, he treat P. Diddy or any other black artist the same, because he's about money and economic power. You don't think he breaking bread with Jay-Z, whether they're against political lines or not? But you don't get people that can kind of understand that. Mm. And in that, people are still like, you know, I was like, she doesn't get how she started that comment. She started this story about her experiencing something where somebody was asking her why she was on a marina. And she was like, oh, we have a boat here. And the white guy kept asking her, so where's the boat? Well, are you trying to park in? It was just like, she has they have the most expensive boat on the marina. And she's being questioned by a man who probably can't even afford to talk to her. But what gave him access to ask her questions and she's above him is that his white skin gives him a credit card to ask her, like she's some dumb nigga, what the fuck she's doing here. Mm-hmm. So, and until the things are balanced and we have the freedom to walk into places and just be treated as a human being, I understand why people are like, I ain't with this white person doubling down on my oppression to get some joke off on they shit when they don't have to wear the shit I gotta wear 24 hours
a day. It reminds me of a story when Mary McLeod Bethune went to the White House to see Teddy Roosevelt, and one of the gardeners said to her, hey, auntie, what you doing walking in there? And she turned to him and said, which one of my sisters gave birth to you? And then walked in. That's a true story. Learn your history.
That's a true story.
Yeah, but you have people.
I mean, I want niggas to know stuff.
I hate the way you went into it.
I know you're talking. Race
Yeah, nigga is utterly
Mary McLeod Bethune. Google it.
But you have so many people in this country, they watch Fox and they're told night and night out, racism doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's a hoax. They're making it up. So you have people that they won't accept it. They're like, they just can't put themselves in other people's shoes.
But you know
they
why?
They don't want to.
Because they don't want, because they know racism exists because they're racist.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Or they don't see it. Because a lot of times it'll be like what you said about like Trump inviting Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever. It's like, he doesn't care. He cares about money.
Well, he cares about money,
Then you can use that and go, look, I like black people. Look, he was just here. And well, you use it.
Like the NFL is using Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Discuss.
Yes.
I like how you just throw out these hot topics and then shut up.
That. The NFL is the worst with that.
And Cap still don't got a job. Cap ain't got no job. I'm just tired of every time something happens that white people run to one famous black person instead of going to like a organization and trying to make this shit right. Mm-hmm. It's like when something happened with the NFL back in 2013-12 they had the whole homosexual thing going on and everybody talking bad about homosexuals.
Oh,
they went to GLAAD. They didn't go to fucking Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, they went to GLAAD to fix it.
Yeah.
But with us people like this, just throw them a famous nigga there.
Yeah.
They'll crowd around him.
Jason's
it
not
stinks.
Doing them a favor. He's going to make a shit ton of money. He's not just helping. Like, he's not just doing charity for the white man.
But you know, but the thing about it is the reason why it is so hard for people of color to really advance is because we are so quickly sold out by those who look like us. It is the reason why we were able to come to this country the way we came because that was facilitated by people who thought, whether they thought correctly or not, or they were in on it or not, we were just so willing to just be freely sold and shipped off and given away because we undermine ourselves. Now, the argument is that there's a bigger plan that Jay-Z has, and we should really stop and wait. My thing is, because I'm a Beyonce fan, I don't think Beyonce would align herself with a man that she didn't think had integrity.
Yeah.
So I want to wait and see.
Lord have mercy.
Because I think Beyonce would leave him if she didn't. I'm a Beyonce fan.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Solange fan. So I say anybody she fuck up in the elevator, I don't trust that nigga either.
But eventually we will see.
Solange for life.
I think that the biggest misstep is that he got into a situation that did not address the fact that someone took it upon themselves to sacrifice their career, livelihood, and their family's livelihood. And then where is he in the coming together? Because the NFL is not in totality acknowledging what is the real issue by jumping on board with making some initiative with Jay-Z. The conversation should have been with Cap.
Yes. It started with Cap.
The thing.
Exactly.
But also, my tickets are being sold through Live Nation on August 23rd.
By the way, did you hear about the Miami Dolphins coach yesterday? Because Kenny Stills was addressing the Cavs.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear what the coach
did. Did you hear what the coach did?
No,
what he did, he played 8 Jay-Z songs in a row during practice yesterday.
And that was antagonization. So what are we going to do?
The whole thing is bullshit, even of the national anthem. It was kickbacks from the National Guard. They weren't doing this forever. It was a bullshit thing that people all of a sudden
they
are
always
like,
paid. They
on
paid.
Their high horse about, oh, you got to respect the troops. And it's like, it has nothing to do with anything.
Every time you see the national anthem being sung or you see the planes flying above Major League Baseball and football, NFL football, pay for that.
Yeah.
Mm. They, yes, I mean, they charge. They charge the government for that. Yeah. They charge the government to fly over. Mm. They charge them to fucking do anything at the games. And they try to act like they're so patriotic. Wow. But they charge us.
It's really expensive, now that I think about it, to have five jets fly over for 10 seconds. Yeah. What the hell?
But the reason why it becomes a bigger issue is because it's in America, the offense always comes when niggas decide that they bigger than whatever it is, right? Yeah. So if it's if some white guy decided, you know what, I want to do something for these black people and stand up for it, they go, oh, he's misguided, but let's hear him out. When, and now Cap is like, oh, here's this. It was really poor white people again, which is the biggest problem, going, who's this uppity nigga making money, not being happy with being a second-class citizen, but making millions of dollars, because poor white people don't think niggas should be doing anything above them.
It is a lot of jealousy of, like, you see someone being better than you, and they're just angry. Yeah. And it's all of that in sports in general, because it's like taken out of context, someone's contract, and someone like holds out, and they're like, oh, this this fucking guy, he doesn't appreciate what he have. I'm working at Pathmark, and this fucking guy,
this guy's making millions and has the nerve to complain.
You know how many times I take a knee and I don't get paid for it?
You're taking it out of context.
It reminds me of a scene from the movie Rosewood. They were burning down the black homes, and then they pulled out a piano, and this white man was like, this nigga got a piano? I ain't got no piano. Then the other white man said to him, but Earl, you can't play a piano. And he said, that don't matter.
I've told this. On Race Wars. I just want to tell it because it goes with this. I've told this story before on Race Wars. When my grandparents first moved to Aberdeen, Maryland, and they were coming from South Carolina, and my grandfather worked night and day to get my grandmother up here, and they were young and married, and they bought a home in Aberdeen, Maryland. It was a beautiful home. It was built from scratch, and it wound up being later going on to be a very like middle class, upper middle class black community.
Yeah, I know Aberdeen.
And they... We right behind the APG, and they had this. My grandmother bought this white picnic set, right?
Well, I got to be
table. Sorry. Well, it was. The house was white.
I'm sorry, I'm reactionary.
So she bought this beautiful picnic set, and she had like the picnic thing and all set up. And about a week later, it disappeared. Right off the front, and they were what happened? How did this happen? We're in a nice neighborhood. Where could it disappear? So my grandmother's just kind of getting to know the neighborhood, riding around, and she goes, there's a lot of woods at that time where they were. It was like, this is like 1958, and she goes and she sees her picnic set dressed up on this lawn where a trailer is. Understand? So my grandmother runs home. She tells my grandfather, she's like, Ned, we got to go get this, you know, our picnic thing is over here. So my grandfather's like, you know, let me think, because my grandfather's kind of, let me get my 38. You know what I'm saying? And back in those days, you had to be careful. Even now, as a black person, how you try to do justice, especially when it involves white people.
Yeah.
So they were riding around. So these white people saw them. And a couple of days later, they left a note on my grandparents' door. And it says, you niggas have everything and we have nothing. This picnic table is ours.
Whoa.
Do you understand? Like, and my grandfather was like, let's just let it go, because it was a bigger thing if they tried to correct something that was done against them because white people did it. Do you understand? Like, this is where we live in. This is how we have to live. Even now, it's like we see shit happening when people are just calling the cops on black people doing innocent shit.
Barbecue Becky.
Because some white woman or white man thinks, what is this nigga doing in the pool? What's this nigga doing at their home? And why are you walking into the building? And all kinds of dumb shit like that. As long as we have those type of oppressions and adjutants on us, there's no way that a white man is going to be free to just tell his fucking joke that's racist. Unless he telling to other white people, look at the emergency guy, the EMT guy. They just did a thing. It's going around viral on Instagram, and I don't know all the beginnings of it, but they were going through all these text messages, and he was doing all these jokes about blacks and Mexicans and call them niggas, shit like that, and fat black women and Jews and all this shit.
He got the Jews in there too.
And he was like, oh yeah, that's jokes. Oh yeah, it's inappropriate jokes. And then by the end of it,
the book of those
you
jokes?
Find out this guy is a white supremacist, and he's an EMT person.
Oh, shit.
Like, and then you wonder why the mortality rate for people of color is so high. We don't know
one.
Who the fuck we That's encounter? Yeah. The Angel fact that people of color have to be bothered with dealing with white people that we don't know whether they despitefully hate us or not puts us
like,
at a greater risk.
Right,
but it puts you at a risk of...
He goes, that's so scary.
How can you
that's
live?
Not, that's just your voice, sir.
You how can you live freely in a place where you don't know if... You know, like Ida Rodriguez talks about her son, like he's grown and she still worries, like, is he going to come home? She got to call him like five or six times a day because he's a black kid in America. I mean, if you're a white person trying to tell a racist joke or a joke that deals with race, I hope it's to communicate how ignorant racism is.
Right.
Then I will allow you to speak to your people and say something if it comes to a point. Right? But some of these things are just so superfluous, it means nothing for you to take the time to try to get to a joke where at the end of the day, you get away with saying nigga, which you probably are because it's freedom of speech, depending on where you are. Then you're going to go someplace where you might not get away with it because a nigga going to bust you in your motherfucking mouth.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think, I mean, I think on some levels, like most of the good comics, I think kind of are like, you don't get to that level anyway without kind of like, being thoughtful or smart enough to make
you have to think your shit out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the real like top level. And even level, like when you play like on the lower levels where there's a lot more
shittiness. Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
You know?
It's always no matter who you are, what kind of comic, like even if you do shows down in the South.
Yeah.
You gotta when you talking about God, you gotta be mindful that this ain't the North.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can do it, but you gotta be mindful of your audience.
Right.
Yeah. So you gotta go about it. You gotta fucking go about it the right way.
Yeah.
Just like in some places you can talk about homosexuality and some, but you can talk about it, but you just gotta be mindful of your audience.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if the audience ain't there, they take it out of context, or they might take it the wrong way. But I don't give a fuck about that. I only care about the people in front of me.
Yeah.
Because if the people in front of me get it, then the other people, the
smart people
get it. But
sometimes the people in front of you still don't get it.
That's the issue,
where it's like, still don't get it. This wasn't a clip that you took out of context. There was context.
But it might be some in the audience that never going to get it, and I'm fine with that too. If I'm shooting 100% on anything, I'm like, I got to rethink my
shit. But that's where I agree with Yamanika's point. It's like, if you don't, and here's what blows my mind about all of these people that come out and complain about stuff. If you don't want to mess with something, if you don't want to support it, you don't have to.
You don't have
to. But you also don't have to set it ablaze.
Right.
And you don't have to be that personal martyr to take it down because it hurt your feelings.
Right.
When it could be about somebody else's truth. You're talking about being molested. Aida's talking about being kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about her struggle. Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to take away artist stories about their struggles because you haven't dealt with your trauma.
It's so controlling.
Right.
It's like
you haven't dealt with it.
When you look inward,
really
when people
is.
See you looking inward and making light of what the trauma you went through, then they got to say, why am I not doing that?
Yes.
Or how can I do that? And sometimes it can make people frustrated and don't want to hear it in the first place.
Or tap the source. Yeah. Like when they did, when we talked about the Dina Hashim thing, right, with Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And I talked about both sides of it because I always said I didn't think the joke was great anyway, right? I think Dina's a great writer and blah 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 blah. But it was about a Venmo joke, but it was about the guy
Tinashe, a lot of exes,
you know, and no disrespect to him. I said, but here's the thing, right? If his mama is upset, she lost a son. If his family's upset, they lost a family member. And you can understand them going crazy and going ham.
Yeah.
But when people in his fan base tried to, and let me tell you something. When the boy died, I didn't know him like that, but I listened to a couple of his things because I always get interested in these
We can tell you didn't know him by the way you said his name.
Right, and I have two of his things in my playlist, and I still can't really pronounce the name because I ain't heard the shit like that.
Those things are called songs.
No, I've heard the song, but his name, I mean, I get it wrong. But because they all these kids, they like got the egg you know. So, but I said, here was the thing. You had all these young kids that were going crazy, right, on Dina and crazy on Comedy Central and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the thing about it is, for me, the reason why I didn't respect it, not that they didn't have an opinion and that they didn't feel strongly about somebody that they love, because they and they right to do that, to then try to turn, because a lot of this cancel culture and this attack is on what people think are weak.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to go for Dina Hashim, it's easy to go for Sarah Silverman, but you niggas will never go for the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you say this joke and she did that because he was a black man and black sitting black men, and I understand that because I understand how they setting black people back in general. Go to your government, go send clown faces to Donald Trump and take that same energy that you got for Dina Hashim and get it for the niggas that's doing this Stop and Fricks. Go to the PBA that's saying that they got an attitude now because after 5 years, they finally decided to put just fire Daniel Pantaleo, not even put him on criminal charges, but the nigga should go to jail for murder. He murdered somebody.
But morale is down with the NYPD. Ain't that bad?
Well, they've been committing suicide left and right. But what I'm saying is this, is like, when you get this heat behind you and all this attitude, all this, get it for the niggas you need to get it for that are affecting your life. Donald Trump is affecting your fucking life. Police doing stop and frisk and going into inner city neighborhoods and profiling people and killing unarmed or harmless or innocent people of color and then saying, oh, I just want to get vacation time and then worrying about, oh, my family's going to be destroyed while they're killing people. That's where you need to focus your energy, not a fucking Dina Hashim or Sarah Silverman or some motherfucker that's telling a joke that if you don't like it, you ain't got to hear the shit unless what you got it on DVR.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. The offense now is all the trivial stuff.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
handle the actual problems right. when you're easily distracted by what the media throws at us and we go, oh, that's what I should be upset about.
Yeah.
That's what I should be mad about. Not this thing that's going to affect my children and my children's children. Yeah. Not this government, not this official that I should be speaking up against.
Right.
But this one
TV.
Person mm-hmm. that everybody's talking about, this video that went viral. People, those people that follow that and don't speak up, y'all are sheep. You're following where you're led to.
It's reality TV culture. Like, everybody thinks that they're going to be next up and that their life is also a reality TV show and everybody else is just in it. And
nobody's watching you show, Pam.
And you can go fuck yourself, right?
Right. Yeah.
As though your joke were about them. Directly or indirectly.
It's too hard to change that. You're not changing the system. It's so hard. So we focus on these things. Like,
you think you have control.
Yeah. It's like you focus on Dina's joke and people get mad. Or even the Kaepernick thing we were talking about. People don't look at it and go, wait, why is this guy giving up his career? What is this? Mm-hmm. Let me listen to this guy.
Yeah, people
they just
don't.
Want to be mad. They can't emphasize. They
yeah,
go,
but
you
know what? To be fair,
sitting.
We have such an addiction model for how we do everything. So the way that the news is, you know, when they reported on that, it was to get us addicted to the story and this news cycle. And then we get addicted to, you know, now this is a whole show for us to watch, and then your life is like that, and you know, you post something and you get a bunch of likes and that addicts you, and it's like everything that we do, like it's the set up to feed our like dopamine system when we engage in very superficial engagements, though. Like, it's not the same. You don't get the same reward from voting.
It's
you
not
know?
Your life when people go, when Beyonce had her babies, right?
Back to Beyonce.
No, but this is
it's always
this is like
a
well,
real
well let me tell you something. Gina has an obsession with Mariah Carey, so let's talk about
the butterflies.
Yes. Right,
but it's there,
I will debate anybody.
Anybody, you know, you better not say nothing bad about Glitter. But anyway, like, and I'm a huge Beyonce fan. But people were like, oh, you know, Beyonce, she got the twins. The way they talk about celebrities and what they got going on, and like, you talk about
obsessed.
This is a girlfriend
if
of yours.
You know
that's
them.
In your
obsessed.
Chat group.
Yeah,
you don't even
obsessed.
Know them. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I heard that she went doing. Where you get your facts from? People.com?
Yeah.
Them niggas don't know. They just saying whatever the fuck they cooking up so you can read
click,
this
click
shit.
Clickbait. Mm-hmm. Clickbait on it.
That's what it is. That's all it is, clickbait. The amount of times that, and the thing is, when you've done, like when you're in the room and you're doing press or you're hearing things, right, you will hear people say stuff like, nah, we got to lead with this. This is the story.
Right, this is the story.
And it's always something salacious. Yeah. And it's always something to distract people.
I always
and
start the show with the weather. I go in with the weather first because that usually gets people.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the chart. one beef I had about Dina, somebody got to say it. I got one beef with a joke now.
Okay. Oh, damn.
The one problem we were talking about too,
with the
though,
Dina joke. Let me tell you my one problem with the Dina joke.
I gotta vape for this.
Cause I'm a comic.
I want to know where the movie is. I want to watch
the
movie.
My problem with her joke is that she said the rapper dude was down there to buy a car. And he wasn't. He was buying a motorcycle. The rest of us fine.
Oh, he was? Oh, he was buying a motorcycle?
Yeah, he was buying a motorcycle.
For $50,000? Oh, so it must have been a Harley or something.
I don't know if that price was amount. I don't know. But that's what he was down there to buy is a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
Not a car.
You
but other than
ridiculous.
That, let the joke
and
ride.
Really
yeah, that's carrying the money in a Louis Vuitton bag.
That might have been true.
I mean, whether he was or not, he was murdered. And
they would set him up anyway. He didn't know what he had in the car.
I don't give a fuck how somebody would murder. Who murdered? I don't. I think that's sad that a kid that didn't get a chance to develop to be a man got his life snuffed out.
Great musician, I should say.
Does she have the right to talk about it? Absolutely. Does the family have the right to be upset? For certain. Yeah. But do these little niggas putting clowns and shit, dude, they don't even understand really what they doing.
Got the right to threaten her online
not
and put up a home address?
Absolutely not.
That's the thing that happened to her career because she, lucky for her also, though, she was in a position where, like, everyone in comedy knows her and respects her and likes her, but people outside comedy didn't really know her.
Yeah.
And now they do, and she didn't have enough of that yet for it to be taken away. She could only go, like, become more
well-known.
I know,
that's the part of my career
so
I wish I had.
So she's in a sweet spot of scandal.
Yeah, it's kind of, it'll...
You know, right before it gets you get canceled before you get on. So people go, no, we got to uncancel this bitch so we can see what the fuck this bitch is about.
It's going to help her in the long run. The death threats will go.
It's helping her now.
And then people will want to work with her.
I can't get a show nowhere, but this bitch is about to make it. Now, enough about her and the career she's going
to build. She's coming to Race Wars soon, actually.
Well, have me on that episode. Now, where can we see this and how many times is it going to run this film?
Oh, Karen, you know I gamble. You know I get my gamble on.
Don't we all?
We all do. And you know football season's coming up, and I love the NFL. I'm a Cowboys fan living in New York. That's a problem, but I like to gamble.
So what do you do?
I go to MyBookie. That's my new thing, MyBookie.com.
Why MyBookie.com?
Because they got first of all, you get the discount. They hook you up with some betting stuff. You know what it's all about. It has better bonuses. It has more prop bets. They have the sports book. You just can't beat it. I mean, the handicapping, they help you with everything. So you can just handicap.
So I've heard that this year they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest.
That's right. It's the super contest. It only costs you $100 to get in, and you can win up to $100,000.
No kidding. So first place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter?
Only $100 to enter. This is a super contest. This is the thing you want to be part of because you can win a lot of money on one bet.
Okay, so you just got to pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. So all you have to do is go to mybookie.com and enter promo code RACEWARS.
That's right. Promo code RACEWARS, mybookie.com. Look, the NFL season started, man. I don't know if you do fantasy football, you do football, but this is the time, and MyBookie is the way to bet.
So you just create your account, claim the bonus, MyBookie.com, promo code RACEWARS.
Bet, win, get paid. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Boo! MyBookie, baby!
I gotta say, when did I noticed it in that... Everyone putting clown emojis. When the fuck did that become the biggest diss on Twitter that you call someone a clown? You put a clown. I noticed it on that, and now I see
they,
it all the time.
But they had to shut comments clown, down. Clown, them clowns clown, was coming
what
thick.
The fuck? What, do I put in a clown emoji as an attack?
I noticed it with the Dina thing first.
I saw so many
Dina's
of it.
A clown.
Really?
Clown emoji, clown emoji, clown
so
gift.
Many clowns. 20 clowns.
Like, God, are right, we 12? Wow, okay, this cool. is such a throwback
and
to like
no, but they are 12. Some of them are 12.
Every time someone gets dissed on Twitter, kids do clown. And I'm like, when did the clown face become like the fucking shittiest thing? Because
it's simple. All you got to do is copy and paste it and then get it, dot, dot, dot it.
It
and
takes
go on
no,
about
creativity,
no time, no creativity,
it takes
and
no,
nothing.
And then
no brain
all your
power.
Friends just give it to you. Like you did something clown. Very clever.
But it's all going to be fine. She's going to have an amazing career. I'm still trying to get tickets sold on August 23rd to the Gramercy Theater. It doors open at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. being the seat. And all 9 p.m., Jessica Karras is going to be to go to Instagram.
Well, first of all, if you want people to come to this, Yamanika, what kind of dead rapper jokes are you going to? I
not
want to
at
hear
all.
Some dead rapper
but
stuff.
But the thing about it is, because I'm dating a young guy now, I might be dating some of them other young.
Mercy.
I might be dating
don't
some of the clown.
Don't nobody care who you dating.
Is he doing the clown emoji?
Don't nobody care who you dating.
I care, Sherrod.
Well, I care.
Yummy.
Yes. You don't care too much.
She'll be in here 2 weeks talking about how this nigga done wronged.
So 4 days after that, 4 days after that, our movie premieres August 27th.
Yes.
Amazon Prime and Apple TV.
There
you go. August 27th.
Yes.
It's called Tasteless, and we're doing a big premiere party the 27th.
Can I see the book, please?
Oh, I would love to go. I think I'm going to be
you're
in town. I'm getting my weed done.
Is this the book or this the joke book?
That's the joke book, yeah.
That's the joke book.
Yeah, so August 27th, Amazon Prime and Apple TV.
Who this film
well,
made
I know
money
this
off
book
of,
is old because there's a joke about Joan Collins. I was like, damn.
A lot of Rock Hudson
there's
jokes.
There's like 10 pages, oh, 10, 11 pages of Polish
how
jokes.
How many men?
A lot of Polish jokes.
You guys, here's a joke.
Yes, tell me.
Thank you.
How many men does it take to mop a floor?
How many?
None. That's a woman's job.
Oh. Where's the
wait,
tasteless
is it okay
part
to,
of it?
Is it
what
okay
part is tasteless?
Well, you can go to the ethnic section.
That's,
okay.
That's
is it okay to read those?
Get to
okay, okay. A woman walks into a bar with a duck under her arm. One of the drunks at the bar turns and says, "That has got to be the ugliest pig I've ever seen." The woman says, it's not a pig, it's a duck.
I'm
the duck answers,
duck.
I was talking to the duck.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Go to the ethnic. Okay, it is race wars. Go to the ethnic
go
stuff.
Go
can
to
you see ethnic? Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, ethnic section.
Oh, there's handicapped. What do you do when an epileptic has a fit in your bathtub?
What?
Throw in your laundry.
That's pretty good. Get to the ethnic stuff.
Shut up.
Jesus Christ, doing everything else. Don't ever do woman first.
Whoa. Can we have some priorities here, please?
It tells you where it is in the beginning. Do you know how a book works?
Jewish.
Okay.
How do Jews play football?
They
try to get the quarterback.
That's what they hire niggas.
Okay, here's one for
I'm represented by Katzenberg, Katzenberg and Stein. I ain't
here's
doing
one
that.
For all the goyim in here, just all of you. What does a Jewish Santa Claus say as he comes down the chimney?
Where's my rent?
Ho, ho, ho. Anybody want to buy some toys?
I like where's my rent better.
Thank you.
Sherrod, you should write some punchlines.
Okay. Ethnic variegated. That already sounds racist. Okay. No. What do you say to a Puerto Rican?
Hi.
Oh,
hold up. Real quick. Let me tie my hair up real quick just in case.
What do you say to a Puerto Rican in a three-piece suit?
What?
Oh
boy. Will the defendant please rise?
Oh boy.
Get you a good black one.
Oh my god, this is a good one for our Jewry. Why aren't Arabs circumcised?
Why?
So they have somewhere to put their gum in a sandstorm.
Wow.
That's gross.
Another one.
Get a black one.
Okay. The Asian one, the only black.
Okay.
What does an Oriental use for a blindfold?
Oriental?
A shoestring?
It's an old bus.
Spaghetti?
Oh, God,
I've heard that.
Okay, wait. Oh, my God.
What was it?
Dental floss.
What was it?
Dental floss.
No, I know, but what's the start of it?
What's an Asian dude uses a blindfold?
Oh, that's wild.
The term Oriental was said for so long.
I got one. I'm just going with one of my stock ones.
Okay, you have one?
Okay, ready?
Sherrod has a
Oriental. You ready? Is everybody ready? What did the black kid get on his SATs?
What?
Barbecue sauce.
You know they still have Oriental flavor.
I got that from the Vecchione
soup.
Oodles and noodles.
But you can use Oriental.
I cannot read any of the black jokes.
Go to that verse.
No, make Sherrod read
the N-word.
Make Sherrod read it.
No, it's better if she reads it.
I'm not going to do it. I will be canceled.
Good job.
I have so much to lose.
It's race wars. That's why you should have done it.
She knew. Good job.
Game show question.
Okay, hold up.
What famous place in New York State was named after blacks?
What?
Niagara Falls.
I went there for my honeymoon.
Did you really?
Oh, here's a long one about the blacks.
That's a long one I didn't want to do.
This big black guy saved all his money for years and years until one day he walked into a Cadillac showroom and put down cash for a car of his dreams. Mm-hmm. A huge maroon sedan with all the extras. Getting behind the wheel with a huge smile on his face, he called out to the salesman, "Now tell me, how do I look?" "Well, you asked for it," said the salesman. "Okay, I see a big black buck nigga sitting in a Cadillac, happy as all get out. Boy, I'm glad to hear you say that. I thought you were going to say, there goes another damn guinea pig conductor, contractor. There goes another guinea contractor.
Because it's an Italian joke, so it's attacking blacks and it's attacking Italians.
The worst part isn't even.
You guys don't know how to hate.
It's so long. That joke is too long. Wow. It's too long, that joke.
You need to trim the fat on that joke.
Wait. Here's another one. Here's a fairy tale about the black.
That's a big black buck nigga. I got angry at
the difference between a white fairy tale and black fairy tale?
What?
White fairy tales start out once upon a time, and black fairy tales start out, you motherfuckers ain't going to believe this.
That made me
That's not bad. That wasn't
good.
That's actually funny.
Yummy, I feel like you've said that to me several times.
I got another one. In my head one.
What?
I want another stock.
Okay.
How do you stop five black dudes from raping a white woman?
How?
Throw them a basketball.
Oh, my God.
You need to start copywriting some of these?
Yeah. I read a little book.
I got another one. You ready? What do you call a black pilot?
What?
Nigga.
What?
Somebody told me this one. What do you call a Puerto Rican with no hands?
What?
Trustworthy.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. I had a racist moment one time. This is back when I see it flying. And I saw these two. I saw a young white guy pilot and a young black pilot walk into the
the gate where we was going.
Uh-oh.
And the young black pilot had, he had, so he was like bopping and shit. So I said, which one of these is the pilot? And they said, oh, it's him. They pointed to him, the black guy. I said, oh, can I change my flight? Because he was doing too much hip hopping for me.
You're Uncle Roscoe from the Boondocks.
I felt bad about it. Like, it was too much hip hopping for me.
You're Boondock, Uncle Roscoe.
Too much hip hopping for me.
I flew Air Kuwait once, and I think that's like the least racist thing you can do. If you're flying Air Kuwait and you're okay.
Yeah.
I was on it. I was like, wow.
You were like patting yourself on the back.
He was the terrorist on that flight. I ain't trusting that white skin on that phone.
You guys, the ones about gay people are so bad.
Let's hit us with one. The white daughter hit us.
Oh my God. Why does it take two gay men to rape a girl?
Why?
Oh my God. One holds her down while the other does her hair.
Oh my God. Oh, they call it hair, getting hair done rape. Because I get my hair raped every Tuesday.
What kind of soup do they serve in a gay Chinese restaurant?
Wow. Wait. No, wait.
That's good.
Dickie Pong.
No, it's close. Cream of some young guy.
Oh, God. That's like my dad's joke.
Yeah. It's all Stockholm shit. It's all, she collected these jokes and made a book out of it. It's fucking great.
Yeah. She made a lot of money.
I'm sure she did.
No, yeah, I'm about to.
This was the number one bestseller, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86.
What is it? I believe it.
I'm about Audition to order this on Amazon right now.
She did 14 of them.
Oh, she did 14.
She did?
Wow. You guys.
What?
She's a
genius. What's 14. The difference between herpes and AIDS?
Wow.
Oh, my God. One's a love story and the other's a fairy tale. Where's Tommy to be upset?
Yeah, she made, she, by the way, I don't know if we talked about this, but she's now a feminist activist and an anti-ageism activist.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Wow. She's going to have to make money. She's going to have to be a damn
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my. This is so. Oh God. What do you call the gay ice follies?
What?
AIDS on blades.
Oh. She's the author of this book.
It actually hurts.
The author of this book is kind of like somebody who's against war, but she also makes bullets.
Right. Yeah. Like the profiteer.
Good for her. She's DuPont.
It's called Truly Tasteless Jokes.
Oh my God.
You know what? I can't even.
They're expensive, by the way.
Are they?
Because they're vintage now.
Right.
Well, let me see what Amazon is kicking
about. Let's not read so many of them. They canceled the race.
They're probably out of print. I'm totally out of print.
They're out of print.
So that's why. It's only what's out there left around.
Yeah, they're a collector's item.
That's amazing.
It's like Confederate flags. And you know, they're like collector's items.
Do you guys have all 14? Or
yeah, I have all 14.
That's amazing.
How did you get that?
That's amazing.
I ordered them online.
Now you can get them on Kindle for $3.99.
Well, Kindle, yeah. Uh-oh.
But you hardcover $30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and I want the, what's her name?
Blanche Knott. Well, her real name's Ashton Applewhite.
Applewhite.
No, what's
Applewhite?
On the book?
Blanche Knott, K-N-O-T-T.
That's two of the whitest names. Fucking all those are just white names.
These are so old. Do I want to hear one about miscellaneous?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
$101.17 for a use.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Wow. Oh, you're a collector. Okay. Why are there no jokes about the Jonestown tragedy?
Why?
Because the punchline's too long. It's history. Yeah. It's important to know these things. Okay. So they knew back then. When does a Cub Scout become a Boy Scout?
When he's fucked in a butt by
when he eats his first brownie.
Oh. I thought he was going to get molested, but he's having sex with a girl.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Well, the girl's a brownie. No.
Oh, is he eating assholes? Is he eating assholes?
It's an ass joke.
No, I don't know.
I think girls are brownies.
It's Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts.
I was a Girl Scout. I made it all the way to junior. But I'm telling you, that was a double down.
I think this is why the joke is so great, because it's so flexible.
That would make sense that it's a double down joke.
It's a double down joke.
It's for everyone. It's for the people that think it's about eating butt and the people that think it's for eating
whatever you want to be offended by.
These jokes is some of like the really mean ones you could just like replace. They go, you know, what do you call, like, if it was like black, they go, what do you call 10 black guys driving off a cliff in a limo?
What?
A good start.
Right.
But you can replace it there, like in the Italian section. They just change it. They go, hey, what do you call 10 Jews driving off a limo?
Right. Yo, the ones that are too tasteless to be included are so, so, so bad.
Go! Say it, though!
Okay.
Which one is it? You want
to
do it?
Yamanika's like, let me read it.
It's not the N-word,
but
I still can't say it.
But I don't understand how it's too tasteless to be included when it's included.
It's kind of a, yeah, it's kind of a. Right.
I'd rather come out of her
white
mouth.
What's the difference between a dead dog in the road and a dead black man in the road? There's skid marks in front of the dog.
Oh. You see why I couldn't read that? Yeah. You see why I did not want to read that?
Of course you can read that. It's not your
I
words.
I didn't want to read it. I did not want my voice to be canceled. Reading it. Yeah, come on, man. I'm
this
young
is
and
called
rich.
The section.
You're
like,
a woman of the people.
This is
going to
be
canceled.
In the commercials for the show. By
what does the blinking neon sign above Joe's 24-hour abortion clinic say?
What?
You rape them, we scrape them.
Oh, Jesus.
That is a hot topic.
Yeah, the government's banned this because they don't want the idea of 24-hour abortion places. So.
Right. You can't tell us in Alabama. Why are there no black people in Wisconsin?
Why?
The Indians think they taste like venison.
Oh, and we do.
I mean, you might.
We do.
We have no way of knowing the data.
What's grosser than gross? When a guy fingers a girl and pulls out something else, someone else's class ring?
What?
That's what it says. What's grosser than gross when a guy fingers a girl and pulls out
is
someone
that
else's joke?
Yeah, class rings
I don't
anymore.
Understand. So
but that's why I was like, what is this,
53?
What's even grosser
yeah.
when a cheerleader does a split and two rings fall
thank
out?
Oh, wow.
One her boyfriend's and one her own.
Wait, I missed the setup.
Oh, like a
I'm still thinking about the class ring. So there's a guy in there before.
Yeah. He just left merchandise.
That's not that tape. That's just a silly one.
But I said 53. Ain't that when your father graduated?
Let's end this with a nice little long one, okay? And this will be the last, just to close it up, okay?
Oh, this better be good.
A guy went to the whorehouse, and the madam asked him what sort of activities he preferred. I have a certain idiosyncrasy, he admitted.
Okay, we all do.
Our girls are used to anything, said the madam reassuringly.
Okay.
Betty, take this gentleman upstairs. 5 minutes later, there's a piercing scream, and Betty comes running down the stairs, followed soon after by the dejected man. The madam insists on knowing what it is his tastes run to. And finally, the guy confesses, I like to have a broad lay on the floor while I shit on her stomach. The madam says, why didn't you say so? Alice is the girl for you. So he goes upstairs with Alice. Everything goes according to plan, and the guy enjoys himself so much that he goes back the next night to see Alice and becomes a regular customer, stopping by 3 or 4 times a week. He definitely wasn't constipated. One night he's horny but terrifically constipated. Oh, I got there early. And he goes over to the whorehouse for Alice. They go upstairs, and he squats on top of her, but despite massive strength and groaning, he can only manage a tiny fart.
Okay.
At which Alice breaks into heartbreaking sobs. What's the matter? He asks, turning around. Tears run down her cheeks. She weeps. You don't love me anymore.
That's it?
Wait, what?
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it?
That was like a...
Wow.
All right. That was like anticlimactic, but all right.
That had a lot of parts, like a romance novel. He came in very fancy, and he's like, and then he's just like, I want to be shit on.
You don't love me no more. Why don't you love me?
Hey, back to Beyonce.
Nowhere.
Why don't you love me when I make
give me a nice nigga one, Karen.
That's the kind of joke, you're like a story you're telling, and you realize it's got no point.
Right,
and you're
like, you guys,
why am I telling this? Look, I just like to get shit on. I don't know.
I read it like a toll booth worker in Jersey.
Here we go. Here's a nice one. Okay. Karen's blushing.
What do you call a prostitute with a runny nose?
What?
Full.
Oh, wow. That's gross.
That's nasty.
Yeah. Fill her up.
Oh, yeah. Ew, whoa.
Okay,
let me get $20 on pump two.
This one is factual. Why do you wrap a hamster in electrician's tape?
Why?
So it won't explode when you fuck it.
Oh, your joke right there. Okay. That's a bad
well, he was fucked by the.
He stuck you up his
the
ass.
The poor gerbil.
Oh my God.
It was
terrible.
Yeah.
You shouldn't fuck any
these jokes are
going to
give me nightmares, guys. Yeah.
You had to have a micro penis. What's the joke?
I'm not reading this one.
What?
She's saying, I'm not reading this one.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, he's too scared to race.
I have
on
so
race
much
wars.
To lose.
You got nothing to lose.
So vigorous and young.
America don't know
so
you.
America, you know me.
What do you do with a dead black?
I mean, just the question. What?
Oh, yeah.
Scalp him and use the hair as a Brillo pad.
Oh, God. Oh. That was a hateful joke.
But you know what? It's a way to, if you're out of Brillo.
It's a long way to go
here's
for a
Brillo. Here's another long one. Here's another one more long one.
Sometimes you really need to clean a pan. I do.
You love the
wait
stories.
I do. Okay. Oh, it starts here. It's to be so continued.
Long. Oh, no.
After a long and difficult delivery, the obstetrician finally pulled out the baby, yeah. Whirled it around his head, and let go so that it splattered all over the wall. Doctor, screeched the woman, that was my baby. That's okay. It was dead anyhow. The victim of a, oh, it wasn't a continuation. My bad. The victim of an awful automobile accident was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital, and the emergency room nurse was instructed to prepare the body for the undertaker. Removing his bloody clothes, she discovered that the young man had died with most massive erection she had ever seen. Unable to take her eyes off it, she finally yielded to temptation, took off her panties, straddled the stiff, and proceeded to enjoy herself.
Why not?
She was getting down from the table when a second nurse came in and reprimanded for her obscene behavior. That's all he was doing. The bitch needs a write-up and a firing. What's the harm? Shot back the first nurse. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and he surely didn't mind it. Oh, besides, he can't complain, and I can't get pregnant. Why don't you give it a try? Oh, I couldn't possibly, said the second nurse, blushing. Oh, the bitch was thought. Yeah, she was upset.
She was thinking about it.
First, he's dead, and second, I've got my period. Listen, what? The doctor wants you in the operating room, and I'm supposed to finish up here. She got to work, but soon found herself terribly excited by his massive hat hard-on and climbed on top of it.
Yeah.
Just as she was starting to come, she was astonished to feel the man climaxing too.
Yeah.
Looking down and seeing his eyelids, oh my God, starting to flutter, she exclaimed, I thought you were dead. I thought I was too, lady, said the man, until you gave me that blood transfusion.
Oh, my God. That's so disgusting.
The same thing that killed Arthur Ashe saved this man.
Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus.
That's a real journey, that one.
Whatever. It killed Arthur Ashe.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus.
That was a good job.
In the name of Jesus.
See,
it's addicting. It's addicting.
I mean,
it's really, this is how we're
going to play. Because they're naughty. Because they're so naughty.
Such taboo.
So when is the movie? When is it again?
August 27th, this Tuesday, Amazon Prime, Apple TV. Please, watch it.
What's the date? What's the date on
Tuesday, August 27th.
There's a lot of Karen Carpenter jokes in here.
Yeah, she's great. This came out around the 70s. 70s is version, I guess.
Early 80s.
Early 80s, okay.
How did Karen Carpenter die?
How?
She was killed in a crash diet.
Yeah.
It's like, right?
I'm literally so out of groans.
I know.
Like, I'm out of groans.
I can't. I ain't grown once yet.
I can't.
Good.
I can't groan anymore, guys.
That blood transfusion took me.
That was great. That was great.
I'm out of groans.
Do you know a dude wrote that? Because, like, that just is so dumb.
And women just ain't climbing on stuff like that. It's too many penises out here.
Women are climbing on dead dicks.
Oh, I can't have my period. That's such a man thing.
There's a Jesse
Jackson
joke.
It was a story of this woman who got pregnant from a dead dude.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Because, yes, she got pregnant from him, and he was dead.
Oh, so one, that's a sample test of all women?
Yeah.
No, you just saying women ain't doing it. It's like, well, here's one who got busted doing it.
One. But we ain't out here doing it in droves.
No, well, everybody got access to a dead dick, nigga.
No.
But if you had more access, y'all do a fucking fake dick, so why not a dead one?
Yeah.
Ugh. Get over yourself. Like, you're too good for it. You think you're too good for a dick?
Before the coalition of necrophiliacs come after us, I just want you guys to know.
A dildo ain't nothing but a dead dick.
It's a weird freaking joke.
That is not true.
A dildo ain't nothing but a dead dick.
That is not true. Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of these dildos are molded after niggas who already died, so it's really a dead dick.
Is that right? They're molded after dead.
A lot of these virgins been out.
It doesn't even know.
Don't believe things that Sherrod says.
Been out. If you're molded
anything,
people die.
No. Oh, I know you're wrong.
People die, so you messed me with a dead man's dick.
They're literally all living. You guys, a quick question. What happened when John Landis didn't like the setup on Twilight Zone?
What?
Heads rolled. I don't even. What is that? Oh, wait.
John Landis did the movie and people died on set. Yeah. It's like, you have to remember that.
You have to know nerd stuff to get
that. Talking about Punky Brewster. I mean, this is really going back.
When Jesse Jackson was asked about the new abortion bill, he said, I thought I paid it.
That's something he would say.
I'm going to change that for.
If I didn't pay, they didn't stay.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
What were John Belushi's last words? No Pepsi, Coke. Get it?
Gerard is like a child. Look at him.
I thought he said new Coke.
You can cut all the talky part before. Just start it with this.
Yeah, start it with all the jokes.
Yeah.
And be a tight.
Yeah.
Half
but
hour
don't
podcast. Cut out the part where I'm at the Gramercy Theater.
Delete this part. Turn our goddamn mic off, please.
Don't ever forget. Okay.
When is the show? It's time to plug now.
So you can follow me at Yamaniko on Instagram. Please go to my Instagram, follow the ticket
right
link.
Now.
I will be at a Gramercy Theater August 23rd, that's this Friday.
Yes.
Show doors open at 8 p.m.
Boom.
Get there. Show starts at 9 p.m. Jessica Kearson is being wonderful enough to open for me. It's going to be amazing.
That's going to be dope.
I'm doing a brand new hour. Come out and support. I can't wait to see you guys there.
Yeah. Excellent. Nice. I'm coming through there.
You guys.
You know I'll be there.
I know you will.
No, how do that. Germans
Chris, okay.
How do Germans tie their shoes?
Oh, those are my people. Uh-huh. What is it?
In little Nazis.
Triggered. Hello. I'm so triggered.
The cutest Nazi joke.
So
the most
cute.
Adorable Nazi
that's
joke.
That's not even offensive.
So good. Can I plug my shit? I'm gonna be at the Stand next Monday, the 26th. I'm doing Wet Spot live at the Stand. It's my sex relationship podcast, but we're doing it from the Stand. And to get tickets, go to any of my social media. Follow me there. And then to get 50% off, just use the code WET50, WET50.
Perfect.
Amazing.
I thought they'd be using Jew hair to tie their shoes. It wasn't.
Hello.
Is that on the back pages or whatever?
Tiny little Nazis.
Another plug for the movie?
Yeah, I'm going to be downtown with a Polish guy, a Jewish guy, a black guy. No, I want to plug the film. It's going to be called Tasteless, and it's coming out to Amazon and Apple TV on the 27th. And
yes,
also,
Tuesday.
The night of the 27th, we're doing a show at New York Comedy Club, 4th Street location.
Okay.
With some of the comics from the film are going to be performing. Who's on the show? We got Norman, Christian Finnegan, Mike Kaplan, Allison Leiby, and anyone else I'm forgetting.
That's a lot of white names now.
And Justin Williams. Justin Williams. Do you know Justin?
No, I don't know all black niggas.
Yeah. That was the assumption. That was the assumption.
You can follow me at Jeff Cerulli on Twitter.
Perfect.
Matt Ritter won. Yeah, we have that show. I have a monthly show at the Hollywood Improv next month, September 5th.
When is it? September
5th.
Yeah. Okay. What time is that show? What time are you going to do that?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
Perfection.
Hey. There's a whole section just on
Gina?
Polish people.
Oh, there's like 11 pages on Polish people.
You guys can follow me on Instagram at gbrione. The website is ginabrione.net. Check out the website. See if I'm coming to your city because I don't ever remember my schedule. I'm performing somewhere at some time, and so you should probably do that. I have an HBO special out on all HBO platforms.
Yeah, Gina.
It's called Easily Offended, and you can watch it on HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Latino, all of the HBO platforms. And yeah, keep an eye on me. I got other things coming up.
Did you do it in Spanish also?
No, I've never done my comedy in Spanish, but I get asked a lot, and I'm working up the nerve to
do
it in
cool.
Spanish.
That's a cool challenge
I'm petrified of it, but I am also intrigued by things I've never done before, so
I
really want to do it.
People say that it's like easier than, like, they've set out to do it, and it's actually ends up being easier than they thought.
Yeah, I think it's just nerve-wracking when you first think of approaching it, because when you're translating stuff, it doesn't always work the same. So
right.
There's language in my bits that would have to change to make sense in Spanish and also to be funnier in Spanish, the certain language you use.
It's also like certain words are funny when you land on them.
Exactly.
You can't just be like, oh, well, that word in Spanish.
So it makes it a little more difficult. You overthink it probably the first time, and then once you get used to it, it's like, yeah, I can go up there and just riff. Mm-hmm. I know people that can do great in Spanish without going up prepared at all, and it blows my mind.
Yeah,
so we'll see. But this set is it is in English. Cool. A lot of people ask me that though, which is weird. I'm like, I've never done anything in Spanish. Why would you ask me?
I had I had two Cantonese specials that I put out.
You are
full Cantonese.
Right.
They were good.
You're full of
you
something.
Mean Oriental, Sherrod?
Oriental. Well, I never. Dwight daughter.
Me? Okay. You should check out. Citywide at the Stand, Thursdays at 7 o'clock. It's Abby Rosenquist and Shane Gillis' show, but I've been guest co-hosting while he's out of town getting famous, crushing pussy.
Crushing that pussy.
And I'm on Twitter, Karen Kardashian, K-E-R-E-N, and on Insta, Karen Margolis.
Aw, thanks,
don't
guys.
Don't forget to listen to my podcast, too, Miss in Progress.
Yes, okay. What is it?
Mess in Progress.
Mess in progress,
yes.
Polls play hide and seek?
Why?
Because nobody will go look for them. It's a Polish joke about Polish.
Well, the Nazis look for them quite a bit.
Also, you can listen to me on my podcast, Raven Raven, with Yamanika and Friends, and my album, Damsel in Distress,
there
is out
and
all streaming.
So good.
Thank you.
Such a good album. Yes.
And don't forget this Sunday, I'm going to Vegas, baby. Back to Vegas. Race Wars live at the Comedy Cellar in Vegas. Kurt will be there. Kurt Metzger. Me. We're going to do four podcast shows and 14 stand-up shows at Comedy Cellar at the Rio.
Great.
Get your tickets now at ComedyCellar.com. Plus, I'll be on Penn Sunday School with Penn from Penn and Teller as soon as I land. This Sunday. So me and Penn are going to do a couple episodes. So make sure you check that out. Penn Sunday School. Podcast galore.
Amen.
Race Wars, we did it again.
Yeah,
baby, we did it, you mothers.
Yeah.
Happy summer. Thank you, brother.
Wow.
Peace. Thank you.